Great day to be together in worship today. It's a great day to see your faces and to see that in spite of whatever you've been through this week, you can smile, a testimony to your faith in the goodness of God. We're grateful for each and every one of you, but we're especially grateful because we know we're going to meet with God. God in His faithfulness condescends to be with us every week right in this space. Revealing, pouring out blessings of every kind, and really every kind of person. So we want that more and more to be a truth of our worship. Today, we didn't have any preliminary music. Ann was playing the prelude. We don't want to say it wasn't preliminary music. Got her attention. But we're going to go ahead and go directly to our call to worship. 141, Children of the Heavenly Father, let's stand and sing. Children of the Heavenly Father, safely in His praise is 152. I sing the almighty power of God. Thank you. Please be seated. Let's take some time to celebrate God in our midst, His activity in your life. We want to give words that build up and magnify His name, because testimony is the way our faith is spread. Mike, you want to say something?
Okay.
Oh, okay. It was an awesome, it must have been an awesome thing.
Oh, it is. I want to talk about a couple of milestones that we've passed in the past few days.
One is, I'm going to tie my shoe while you talk.
On Thursday afternoon, our legal representative team in Florida sent us the deeds to the property as registered with the Spartanburg County. Yesterday, the Global Methodist Church of South Carolina held its first annual meeting in Lexington, at which this church was inducted officially into the Global Methodist Church.
Yay! Okay.
During that meeting, another milestone was met that affects this church and Chris Snellgrove.
Yes, sir.
Especially. The bishop of the GMC ordained Chris into the Methodist, the Global Methodist Church. It was a wonderful ceremony, a wonderful experience, and your church wants to show you our pride in your achievement.
Is there initiation?
With this initiation. You need to stand up for it to happen for you.
All right, I can defend my will. Defend. Oh, that looks like it's for me.
Well, I'm not doing that.
Well, it doesn't matter. I'm going to take it off eventually.
Congratulations,
Thank
brother.
You. Well, that is beautiful. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. Okay, well, we just have Sunday after Sunday of goodness of God.
And now I
want to
do it.
Oh, what are you doing?
I'm always sneaking up on you, aren't I? Last Sunday night was totally rocking. I know it went kind of long, but if you missed it, you can go onto our website and go through it. The missions thing was totally wonderful. And yesterday at the conference, it was just higher and higher, and I'm still floating. So, and then this morning in Sunday school, we were talking about tribes, and I'm like, you know what? You're my tribe.
That's right.
Yes.
That's right.
And I'm just so amazed at what I've been through to get here, and I'm so thankful for how God brought me here, and that I'm here, and I'm invested, and so just glory to God. I'm just so thankful.
Amen.
For all of you, and especially
Amen.
For,
Amen.
Sorry. So anyway, one of the speakers last week sponsored the Logos Theater, and they have a special deal for an upcoming performance of Scarlet Pumpernel, which is a story about rescuing people from the guillotine during the French Revolution. And if you're interested in going and supporting the Logos Theater, until August 31st, we can get tickets for $25 a piece.
Yes.
And there are Friday nights, and there are Saturday afternoons, and there's Thursday mornings. So get in touch with them or get in touch with me. And I'd really like to have a group go on a Thursday morning. And so we need to figure out which morning. But we need to do it speedily. August 31st is rapidly approaching for us to take advantage of this wonderful discount and this wonderful opportunity to support them in what they're doing to make the Bible come alive through their missions. Thank you.
Okay. A beautiful testimony and unapologetic advertisement and announcement.
It's missions.
I know. Jessica. Praising the Lord for last Sunday evening, which I spent about 30 minutes getting really, the longer they talked, the more I fumed because I knew Jessica had asked them to be brief and they weren't being, and I thought, this is, you know. But then it just got into a groove and we were worshiping and testifying to God's goodness. It was a beautiful time. And there are things on the piano there for you to see what we heard. Other words of testimony this morning. Let's keep things in the track now. We're praising God here. Lois?
It's an announcement, I guess, more than anything. I just wanted to say that we're going to send our directory sheet around again.
Oh.
And if anyone has not, if your name is not on there, please add it. And if it is, please make a check mark if everything on there is the same.
Okay. Thank you, Lois. Jim?
First of all, I want to thank everybody for praying for me. I came up with a case of the shingles about 2 weeks ago. Thank God it was limited, and I'm not contagious. So I didn't come last Sunday because I was kind of in a state. But anyway, it was a mild case, and I got through it. The other good news kind of goes along with Chris. I am now officially a senior minister in the Global Methodist Church.
That happened yesterday.
And I was honored to be one of the ministers that laid hands on Chris as he was ordained deacon and also elder.
Yes.
God bless you, Chris.
Thank you. I got there, they said I was going to be ordained into both, and I thought, wow, that's going to be quick. Thank you. I forgot your name, lady that used to be here a lot. Flo.
I was here for a long time, too, about God's goodness, but I won't go into detail, but just when you don't expect it, angels do show up.
Yeah.
I tell you, we're just overwhelmed at the goodness of strangers.
Good. And, you know, we host angels unaware. The scripture is very plain. that God will send that help to us. So I'm grateful for your return. I don't know if it's because you're getting older or what, but we seemed to pray a lot more for you this time. Other praises? Yes, ma'am, Martha.
I want to just thank God for all the blessings that He's bestowed upon our family.
Yes.
And I'm overwhelmed and overflowing.
Overwhelmed.
Overwhelmed.
What a good word.
Life and love and God is so
good. God is so good. Now you may be sitting here today and you're thinking, well, God hasn't been so good. You just stay tuned. We're going to address that in our sermon today. God is always, always good. Kevin?
Praising the Lord for my mother and her birthday this week.
Well, Zach. She's like the ever-ready bunny. She never stops. Anybody else? Julie Moon? Sounds like a testimony coming. She kind of did her head.
Well, it's hard for me to speak out.
Stand up.
Well,
I mean, for sound purposes, you know.
It's hard for me to speak out in the neighbor, so that in and of itself is a testimony of God pushing me. But I want everybody to celebrate with me tomorrow. I am 14 years out of a pretty lousy diagnosis of cancer, treatments, and everything else.
Well,
they told me it wouldn't be. I told them you haven't met me yet.
She had a diagnosis, not just one, but two different kinds of very aggressive cancer. And because she clung to her faith and trusted His path, God directed her to healing, and she's standing and walking in that today. So we can celebrate God. Other praises. John?
Yeah, my daughter Hannah got proposed to on the beach in Florida, and I'm inheriting
I like how they traveled away to do it so you wouldn't kill him. That's good. That's strategic. Justin?
Today is Sarah and I's 12th anniversary.
Really? You've been married 12 years. Praise the Lord. Amen. A lot of celebration. Okay, what, Mike?
I can testify from yesterday the Global Methodist worship lavishly.
Yes.
It was full of excitement. It was really encouraging and great.
I was swimming and I was way out in deep water before I realized I was going down for the third time. And I thought, I don't know if this has got lifeguards for this or not, but who's going to bring me back up? But I'll tell you what, it was some deep worship.
We have a powerful bishop.
Yes, and we have a wonderful, wonderful bishop. Scott Jones is an amazing, personable, down-to-earth, next-door kind of guy, and I'm so blessed to have him leading us into a time when we humble ourselves before God and exalt Jesus in the outflow of what He's going to do. So.
And his wife, Mary Lou.
And his wife, Mary Lou. I don't know, she come in there like a battle axe when we were meeting with him. She said, "Do you know what time it is?" So I know who runs that show. Now, I just said that on, oh. What a wonderful, wonderful spirit-filled way. I mean, really. If you've never been a pastor's wife, and many of you haven't, that's what it takes. And right, Kathy Ann Johnson? Amen. Miss Goodrich. All right. Flo?
I just want to stand up and show everybody these shirts. There'll be some of you wondering why we have them. But these are our new Global Methodists.
Behold. Behold.
There's just this spirit of excitement that's filling us.
Yeah,
and it's behold, I am starting something new. Go to your Bible and there's that new spirit. Go out and invite everybody you can.
Don't just invite the people that look like you, though. We've got plenty of those.
Yeah.
Let's get some, you know, we want true diversity in the Holy Spirit is when we are colorblind and blind to every circumstance in life except the need to be saved by Jesus.
Is there another color than orange?
please. What, Tennessee? Tennessee? All right. This is the kind of thing I got spoken to about this week, letting things go too far. Mark. All right. Let's see. What about our prayer concerns this week? Bailey?
One of my students that's going to be this year, Griff Russo, was just diagnosed with cancer. He started treatment this past Wednesday, so he definitely needs the prayers. And his friends, that would be with him and David.
Griff Russo?
Griff Russo. Okay. His dad's a cardiologist, and I got Russo.
Okay. Marion, you had your hand up?
Yes. All the teachers and the students that go back to school, of course, but Mandy especially, because she can't trust anybody. She's learning.
But that's a prayer concern. Mandy struggled with issues around her voice, and so I know that she would enjoy or, you know, appreciate your prayers for that. She's shaking her head. Mark?
Becky had a biopsy done.
Okay.
Right. We're praying for good results.
Absolutely. We know it will be. We got an army of women who've been through that very same thing. You're going to have a phalanx of warriors around you praying. Was that Flo or Brenda? Brenda?
Continued prayers for Diane Biggs and Jenny Layton.
Can you give us an update on Diane at all that you have permission to give?
She's doing fine. They took out Harvard thyroid now.
Okay.
Just adjusting.
All right, thank you. And Jenny Layton had surgery to remove two masses in her stomach, which were bleeding. And they told her, and the last word I have was that they felt like there's a good chance she wouldn't need any further treatment and that she was going to make a good recovery. So somebody over here had hand up.
Judy Bain.
Judy Bain has been sick a lot. I don't know what exactly, but she's been out a lot. We need to lift Judy up in our prayers.
Miss Ann had her hand up.
It wasn't Ann? Ann?
I was going to ask for prayer for Judy, but...
Okay, yeah. Okay. Kathy Ann?
Margaret Boggess.
Margaret Boggess, diagnosis of cancer in her liver. Margaret is an old dear friend of ours, a prayer warrior, and I know that God is going to accompany her through this battle. Margaret Boggess.
Debbie Guy.
Debbie Guy. Others. We always have in one hand our praises and our celebrations, and on the other hand, the things we're expecting God to show up for. Yes, ma'am.
Linda, I don't know where she is.
Oh, okay. All right.
So pray for Linda.
She sat out this morning. We're going to pray for Linda wherever she is. She escaped her handlers, walking very slowly. All right. We have work to do in prayer, but first we want to. Today, I know tomorrow, District 6 goes back to school. I don't know about all the other ones, but we've got teachers, administrators in this congregation. We've got people connected to all areas of making education happen. So we want to pray for you and for these kids. Let's get them down here. If you're preparing school in any kind of way, come on down. We want to bless you and your accoutrements for worship. Time of prayer. I have a prayer here somewhere. There it is.
Look at it. Guys, school is hard. Can I get an amen?
Amen?
It's hard on teachers too. It's hard on the administrators and the principals, even the people who cut the grass so you can walk around outside at the school. It's a big team effort to do that. But I know every day can be tough. Your book bag has in it all the kinds of things you need to take and be successful at school every day. The things that you use to learn. But
there's a part of your education that you can't see. That is the hopes and dreams. Hopes. I should have been over because I cried. Hopes and dreams. You have hopes and dreams for your future, and your education is a path to that. But guess what? God has hopes and dreams too for you. He dreamed you. Before you got into the mommy's womb and before you came in the world, God dreamed you. And he had all this big, fantastic idea about you. And your education is a way to go out every day and pick it up and get it. Get all of it. Get all you can. But we want to bless your book bags. And if you don't have a book bag today, we're going to bless you. And we're going to trust that when you go to school, you'll know that we are praying for you. We're praying for your future. Because guess what? We have hopes and dreams for you too. And we hope someday, because we have the deed to the church now, we sign it over to you. And that you can handle it and take it forward and have it be everything God wants it to be. That you go out there and you be everything God wants you to be. Okay? Now, we're going to have our church family extend their hands toward us. This is a way, they may not feel like it, but the Bible says do this. Okay? So extend your hands in blessing to these children. Let us pray together. Gracious God, we lift to you today these students. They stand here ready to receive your blessings, and they commit themselves to studying and learning in the school year ahead. We ask your blessing
on each of them.
We ask you the blessing on all these backpacks. They will hold the schoolwork to carry them home to school and back again. As each person carries these backpacks, may they be reminded of the love and care of this congregation that surrounds them in each school day. We pray as well for the teachers and administrators. May they also be sustained by your blessing. May they be reminded that this congregation embraces their call to teaching and learning and surrounds them with love and care as well. We pray in the name of Jesus, who we seek to follow day by day. Amen. Go and be blessed, kids. Get a few A pluses while you're at it.
That's so lazy. Well, those first steps can be tough. When you wear cowboy boots,
so if you're wondering, I've been playing with the placement of announcements. So we're not there yet, okay? I like to achieve and sustain a period of steady growth in praise and worship. And then when we get to a spot, we're coming to it. We will do announcements, okay? Let's enter a time of prayer. God, at certain moments, we reflect on who you are. It can be easier to imagine your spirit, your Trinity, hovering over the deep as creation began. Sometimes it's not as easy to comprehend you hovering over us, each one. But God, today we open our hearts to the possibility that we could become aware of your hovering presence, brooding like a mother hen, nurturing us, pushing us, encouraging us when we find situations that we would not have invited on our own. through life experiences of failure, abject humiliation, and shame. Not just the good stuff. To this very day, our hearts swell with praise and pride in our God, who never slumbers or sleeps. You never stop. You never stop. We praise you today for the freedom we're experiencing in the Holy Spirit and in the person of Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord, for offering yourself for us. All these things are a gift of God, a grace that we could not earn or merit. We ask your special anointing upon our gathering here today, that your Spirit will light upon every heart. We pray that the Word will become magnetic and alive in our understanding. And we pray that you will provide moments, Lord, where you supersede or even turn or upend our service. We promise to adjust our hearts to your agenda. God, we have many plans and we lay out many thoughts for our day. Today is no different, but we pray that this moment would be captured as we become more and more enthralled with you. That this moment would emanate out into our lives of this week and send us as emissaries into a world that needs to hear an authentic message of Jesus. Now, God, as we've lifted these concerns, we celebrate the healing that we experience here as a congregation. We thank you for the wholeness that, while it may not be complete at times, it comes in ever-increasing degrees. We pray that upon those for whom we pray today. God, that your healing will be inclusive, necessarily inclusive of your presence, known and felt to each one. Now, God, as we proceed into this service, we ask for your direction. Holy Spirit, take us where you want to go as we invite you to come and rest on our service. And we pray these things in the name of Jesus, who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory. Time for announcements. First of all, I was going to mention this in my sermon, but when I see what Jim wanted me to say, it's better placed here. Next Sunday, Reverend Jim has agreed to preach for me. I've promised myself to take 4 Sundays out of the pulpit, whether I'm here or not, to ask others to preach so that I can spend the time I need to refresh and rededicate and find a deeper path in my personal Christianity. And so Jim is going to be preaching next week. And because we're sort of going to spend the fall collaborating in preaching and trying to bring, our emphasis on Wesleyan distinctives and other things, we're going to be collaborating. Well, Jim is going to preach this coming Sunday on calling. Here's his announcement. He says, I'll preach next Sunday. The message will be entitled, Team Jesus, What Position Do You Play? Jim is asking that everyone wear a hat, shirt, or outfit of their favorite team. Oh no, Jim. What have I done? Their favorite team. It could be a sports team, military, a school, so I get what he's saying here, right? A tribe. a civic organization, a church organization, a work-related team, or a charitable team or mission. It could be a team that you were on at some point in your life. Jim will have some hats of his favorite teams. You will have the opportunity to guess which is his favorite team during his sermon. Tell all your friends. We want to have a good presence. You make up your mind right now to be here next Sunday and hear my pastor, the man who helped me when I received my calling, when I heard the voice of God through his preaching. And I responded all those years ago. And you come with that kind of attitude, God will bless you through Jim this coming Sunday. Okay? Amen? Other announcements. People going to wonder why you're wearing your Carolina shirt if you don't tell them to come to church. No announcements? Awesome. Jim. Go ahead.
With all these kids up here this morning was wonderful. And if you notice, we have a record attendance of Sunday school this morning of 43.
Awesome.
40 was our attendance time, but today we have 43. So if you were here today, your number needs to be up there. So come to our Sunday school class at 9:35. We have a little coffee, cookies, sometimes pound cake or whatever. And anyway, we have great teachers, so bring yourself and bring your kids to our Sunday school class.
All right, thank you. The Sunday school czar, boys know not. Oh, all right. Well, what's next? Oh, offering. Kevin, you want to come and help us?
Kingdom through this body, so that you may be blessed and glorified through it. We pray blessings upon it, Lord, that it is pleasing to you. May it be in abundance from the love of our hearts because you are beautiful. In Jesus' name, amen.
for Jesus. I don't know how you stayed seated. Come on, boys. Let's stand for the reading of the gospel.
Yes.
Gospel reading, Luke 11, 1 through 13. Now Jesus was praying in a certain place. When he finished, one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John taught his disciples. And he said to them, when you pray, say, Father, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, for we ourselves forgive everyone who is indebted to us. And lead us not into temptation. And he said to them, which of you who has a friend will go to him at midnight and say to him, Friend, lend me 3 loaves, for a friend of mine has arrived on a journey, and I have nothing to set before him. And he will answer from within, do not bother me, the door is now shut, and my children are with me in bed. I cannot get up and give you anything. I tell you, though, he will not get up and give him anything because he is his friend. And yet, because of his impudence, he will rise and give him whatever he needs. And I tell you, ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds. And to the one who knocks, it will be opened. What father among you, if his son asks for a fish, will instead of a fish give him a serpent? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If then you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? The first word, the last word, the word of God.
Thanks be to God.
Now that we're standing for Jesus, let's present our offering to him.
Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise him, all creatures here below. Praise him above in heavenly hosts. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Amen.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you. Please be seated. Thank you, Kevin.
Chris.
Yes, ma'am.
Can I say something?
You sure can.
Thank you for your encouragement. A lot of you know that I am deaf on the left side because of a benign brain tumor. There were times that I played in the last few months that I just messed up, and I was so depressed about it. I don't play for my own ego. I pray to honor Jesus.
Amen. Amen.
But I started praying about it and asking him to please give me the confidence that I used to have, because I had lost all my confidence. And he has. And every time I play, I pray, Jesus, just let me honor you. I don't want y'all to say, I love it when you clap for me, don't get me wrong. It encourages me, but I just want to say that if you do have something, that a handicap of some kind, don't let it stop you from doing what you've always done. Just keep on doing it, because with the Lord's help, I'm still doing this, and I'll be 75 Tuesday. And I've been playing here since I was 13, all except about 6 years or 7 years. So anyway, thank you for your encouragement. And I just wanted you to know that, you know, prayer works.
And the Lord has taken you to another level. You have moved in your playing from a spot months ago, however good it was. God is blessing and anointing our music through you. We appreciate it so much. Let's praise God for that this morning. All the children have a chance to go that want to go? All right. Man, I tell you what, I appreciate boys so much. He moves faster than me. So I want to talk to you a little bit today, and as I said, prayerfully, we trust the Holy Spirit weaving together a preaching network of messages to plant properly seed a field that God is going to grow in our discipleship. And so right now we're going through time of what we can expect as active disciples and gifting. Like I said, Jim is going to focus next week on your call. I wanted to talk to you a little bit about accepting good gifts from God. And so let's take some time now to invite the work of the Holy Spirit in this word. Come, Holy Spirit, you never draw attention to yourself, and thus we treat you like a stepchild. But you always come and magnify the name of Jesus when we invite you into our midst. And so come now, not by command, but by opportunity to exalt Jesus. Whether we hear our words from the preacher or from your voice today, bless and sanctify what you do in the renewing and the transforming of our minds. In Jesus' name, amen. And so I'm going to conclude this sermon today with a personal story. But I want to talk a little bit first about out of the scripture from Luke, especially the portion near the end. I hope you heard Jesus himself, these are the red letter words, telling about God's gifts. And we all have asked God for crazy things. I remember when I was a kid, I wanted a go-kart so bad I could taste it. I prayed constantly for a go-kart. I stayed so mad at God, he wouldn't give me a go-kart. I thought about checking Santa out, but, you know, I knew God was the one that was going to get me a go-kart. It never happened. I didn't know about how to pray properly and what Jesus truly meant about answering prayer. It turns out our Father is so purely good that he will only offer good gifts in response to our prayer. I say, God, give me patience. God puts me in line behind 42 people, and one of them can't find their change in the bottom of their pocketbook. You know? God's goodness and God's love are so far removed from our human conceptions of those things. But today I want you to tune in to God's goodness in his gift giving, okay? And then I'm going to try not to walk all over Jim as he prepares for next week. But this passage in Luke 11, I tell you, ask and it be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks, everyone means
everyone.
If you believe God's word, it says, for everyone who asks receives. It doesn't say what you receive. Everyone who asks receives. So we should learn how to ask in accordance with what we know we're going to receive. Right? And the one who seeks finds. And to the one who knocks, it will be opened. What father among you, if his son asks for a fish, will instead of a fish give him a serpent? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give good gifts? I'm sorry it doesn't say that. You paying attention? How much the Heavenly Father will give? Come on, help me out. Yours says Holy Spirit. Mine does too. To those who ask Him. A Father that gives good gifts is always giving himself. God's good gift today, God's good gift today, thank you, Ernie, God's good gift today for you is Himself. The Holy Spirit. How much more then will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask Him? The good gift equals the Holy Spirit. We in the modern church today, and I mean modern for nearly 2,000 years, have treated the Holy Spirit like an unwanted stepchild of the Trinity. We fear that we'll somehow underemphasize Jesus by focusing on the Holy Spirit. And there are people who over the top emphasize Holy Spirit in competition with Jesus the Son. But in a properly balanced theology, personal theology, we will understand that the Holy Spirit's job, the whole reason He operates within the Trinity, is to reveal Jesus Christ and the perfect mind of God. He is the key to understanding God's goodness, especially when He's magnifying Jesus. We treat Him like an option because the church is afraid of many things, like losing itself, losing its dignity, losing control in revival. God forbid that there should be flaming renewal and reform throughout a land because we invited the Holy Spirit to move. Yesterday, the thing that kept I was hearing everything in stereo, you know, but yesterday, over and over again, these two words, nobody else maybe didn't hear them, but I heard them over and over again. Witness boldly. We are entering difficult times. We are in difficult times. Witness boldly. That's, in my mind, bravely. And so at this time, I think it's appropriate for us to focus on how to receive God's good things. Because they will always, always exalt Jesus. They will always, always build the kingdom of God. In James 1:17, James says it this way: every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow due to change. We see here that every good gift, again, reaffirming that they come down from above, from the Father of lights, and it isn't given to fickle opportunity. That God is always giving good gifts. They are always available. They weren't dispensational or they didn't end at a certain time in history. But that God is always dispensing His good gifts. That's important for us to remember when we feel that somehow God turns off the spigot when He chooses to. Well, I just didn't hit it, you know. Or tough luck for my generation, God didn't speak. Tough luck for my generation, 80 years, He just didn't show up. You know, we heard about Him, but huh. No, He's never subject to variation or change in His behavior. He is always good, and He always gives good gifts. James 1:5, this is important. And I told a little kid this yesterday. If any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God, who gives generously. How does God give? Generously. To all. Does He find fault with you for asking? No. He does it without finding fault. And it will be given to you. Think of King Solomon. He didn't always use his wisdom wisely, which you think would be an oxymoron. You're supposed to use wisdom wisely. But God did not hold back in blessing him with wisdom. Praying for wisdom is one of God's oldest and best gifts. And He will grant wisdom if you ask humbly for it. Now, I didn't put this up there, but there's corollary here. James 4:3 says, you don't receive because why? You ask wrongly. Or you don't ask at all. So there's a tension there, but it's not with God, it's with us. In the asking, we need to ask God to get us into the right track. Get us into the right way of asking. So that we can receive rightly. Now the spiritual gifts that God gives, you find lists in 1 Corinthians 12 and again in Romans 12. And then there's the fruit of the Spirit in Galatians 5. Now the fruit of the Spirit, you can't decide to grow. You can want to be more gentle, more kind, more patient, and all those things. But they are gifts because they come from somewhere else. The fruit of the Spirit come from the presence of God tilling the soil in your life. They are gifts from God of grace. God grants you generosity. God grants you gifts of patience. And we can prepare ourselves to receive those gifts. The spiritual gifts in 1 Corinthians 12 and Romans, those are equipping gifts that equip you to do service in God's field. So if you have the character of Jesus being formed in you through God's gifting, and He gives you kindness, He gives you patience, gentleness, self-control, God is building Jesus' character in you. Now, too often in the Pentecostal and other very expressive charismatic branches of the church, they go after power. And so very often people in that vein, which I happen to move very freely within, they seek God's power gifts. And so they go straight to 1 Corinthians 12 and Romans 12, and they are asking because they know God will give. Right? Gifts of healing, teaching, administration, faith. And so we receive these gifts as power gifts, and we forget so often that God wanted to shape our character first. And so we have a bunch of silly, childish people walking around with power gifts, making everybody sick of them, the church, and the Holy Spirit. You don't throw the baby out with the bathwater. You sort it out, untangle it, and teach it properly. But folks, when you are allowing God to work and give you His good gifts, you're praying for His patience. You're praying for His generosity. You come to this list and read it to Him and say, I want an abundance of all of these things. I want to be like Jesus. Then your character will begin to change. And you'll know what to do with power from God. Now we have these power gifts, these giftings. In 1 Corinthians 12:31, He gives the list and then He says, earnestly desire the higher gifts. You're supposed to seek them. And then He says, and I'll show you a still more excellent way. It turns out there is a shortcut to Christian faith. It turns out there is, after your salvation, a quick and easy step, John Wesley taught. All you got to do is open your heart and receive God's overabundant, overwhelming, overarching love. God wants to pour a gift of Himself into you that can only be translated as love. God wants to perfect love in my life, in my lifetime. His dream of my days on this planet involved His completing His dream of my love being complete, His love being complete in me. Now, events and circumstances at times have hindered me. My resistance and hard-headedness have been periods of really blocking God's love. Besides, I'm a tough guy. I like to be old and grizzled and grungy. I'm like a dinosaur, Tommy. You know, there's fewer and fewer of us left in the world. We got to stick together. God wants to perfect me in love. And because he's perfecting love in my heart today, I understand that I'll need more tomorrow. Higher and higher levels of grace is what he's attracting me to. And so I must seek love. If I want to ask for a perfect gift from God, I've got to ask for a gift of God himself and ask him to fill me to overflowing with love. When will the church know that it has it right? When it's loving. When it is loving with its entire being. And not with the love the world offers, but with love that Jesus Christ alone gives. A self-sacrificing love, not a self-serving love. In Romans 6:23, Paul is very specific. Again, he says, "For the wages of sin is death, but what? The gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord." Finally, your eternal life is a gift from God that we fell from his favor and no longer deserve. And God in his righteous authority transmitted that into Christ Jesus, and our eternal life resides in him. Eternal life is a gift from God. Ephesians 2, 8 and 9 say the same thing essentially. For it is by grace. Now that's unmerited favor. By grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not from yourselves, it is the gift of God. Did you know it said this so many times in the Bible? Not by works, so that no one can boast. Okay, it's a gift from God. We get it. We ask the question, how can we start manifesting all these gifts? Right? How can I begin to receive these gifts? Well, you've got to believe first that he wants you to have them. And we cleared that up at the very beginning. Who does he want to have his gifts?
Everyone.
Everyone. That's you. And you may feel hated by God. You may have 100 questions to God and you think he never answers them. But it's all designed to attract your attention to something higher. He wants to give his gifts to everyone. So, okay, above 30 years ago, around 1990 or at 1989 more specifically, I began to wrestle with a call to preach. And in our context, that was the United Methodist Church. I'd never been to any other kind of church. So I felt that that was where God was calling me, rightly so. And he did. Through Jim and others' ministry to me, I was able to perceive and shape that calling and respond to it. It was a calling that I was enabled to see was a calling to preach, but also a call to the ordained ministry, which is a set-apart, ordered life of ministry for the church. And so I didn't have a college education, so I had to get into school. I had 2 children, Joy and I, which means she did all the work. We trundled ourselves off to Chester, South Carolina, and while she was busy raising me and our 2 children, I started going to college, and a very gracious congregation allowed me to go to school. It took me 7 years. By the year 2000, I had graduated from Winthrop University with a BA degree in philosophy and religion, a dual track degree. Burning in my heart still, after all that time, was the knowledge that I had to achieve ordination, that God was calling me to ordination. There have been times in my life when I thought I had figured out what all the things God said to me meant. I've been wrong a lot of the time. A lot of time it had to do with my impatience at God's timing. Hope Mountain Ministry. I never could have dreamed the things God is going to do with it. He's still building it one block at a time. It's going to be so huge. I could not possibly have humanly dreamed it myself. John couldn't have either. We're still watching it grow painfully. We're just watching. God's building something. And still, I began seminary. I hope you're awake. Is this boring? I wasn't kidding. And so, I started seminary at Gordon Conwell Theological Seminary. And I had about 30-something hours when suddenly, in the midst of the revival that had occurred in my church, there was a double murder. And because I was a material witness and because I was going, my time was subpoenaed and required, I had to cancel my classes. And every time I'd re-enroll and get ready to start another semester of school, they would change the court date. And I'm subpoenaed to show up. For 4 solid years, they moved this trial date. And I felt like my seminary education was doomed. And finally, you know, my district superintendent said, "We've got to find you another path." So generously and graciously, they took my educational history and they translated that into credit in what is called the course of study. It's a work pattern to ministry, it's a path into ministry for work people who work their jobs and have tent-making occupations while they serve church. Reluctantly, I accepted that, knowing that it was a path. I somehow felt like I had failed to be faithful or failed to hear God rightly. You know, a lot of questions come up when you trust in God for something you asked for and then begin to see it's not like you thought it should be. It's just confusing. So I went through a period of extreme disorientation. I had a nervous breakdown. Eventually got baptized in the Holy Spirit, which we'll be telling you more about that as time goes on. But I was appointed and my status changed to a full-time local pastor. I have sacramental authority in the church to which I'm appointed and no further. So I can be a preacher man, serve communion, marry people, bury the dead, marry people, hitch them up, but only in my local ministry context. So it's kind of a redheaded stepchild situation. But you know, over the years, since 2001, my heart grew around that place. I'll tell you why. Because a lot of more harder things happened, and God showed up in really big ways. I mean big ways. God attracted me away from the pain of my confusion over that situation. And for the last, oh man, since then, I don't know how long that is, it has been a wild ride. I've gotten used to being thought of as crazy. You know? And it's okay. And I got my heart around it. And then one day, Inel explained it so eloquently that people have been trying to prove to me for years. She said, "Pastor, we ordain you every time we hug you." And that has stuck in my mind and heart like a nail driven in wood. You see, I became ordained in my heart through those words. And I might try to hug some of you too much, but you're just squishy. But I feel that. I feel that ordination. I have a long time. In December, and I built a house, and Joy was living in it, using it, having fun in it. I was planning to retire and enter ministry through the Hope Mountain Ministry, devote myself and time to building it. I thought that must be what God wanted me to do. So in December of 2022, this past year, I turned in my papers and I told the Pastor Parish Committee I was planning to retire. And I told the DS. And so I was set in the path to retire and always just ready to let that go. And then within a week or two, we received the bishop's terms for separation. And a church sees that and asked me, hey, won't you hang on for another couple years? Let's see what God does. And so I did, and I revoked my paperwork, and I got back in the groove to be reappointed, which I was promised would happen. And here we are. To cut it short, you were here for that. Yesterday, quite out of nothing I ever expected, I received ordination. I would tell myself it didn't matter anymore. But it was a confusing spot in my history that I would tell people. I'd say, God never fails. God never lies. What He promises, He will do. He will follow through. You may misunderstand. You may, and like me many times, I've decided I must have misunderstood because God never lies. But if God assures you of something and He calls you to it, and Jim, I just stepped in the call. He will do it. Today, August the 13th, I now realize that His promises, you can put them in the bank. What does ordination get me? A cup of coffee and a bunch of people who think they're better than they really are. But you've been praying for a long time. You've been asking God different things. And maybe you asked wrongly. You might have misunderstood. But God gives good gifts. And your request, in the way you word it, frame it, think it, believe it, may not be the very best, and that's what God intends for you, is the very best. Maybe you need a few years of abject poverty to shape your request. Maybe you should have a few years of shattered faith, or addiction, or physical infirmity. The scriptures say, if you seek, you will find. If you knock, it will be open to you. God will provide. God will answer your prayer. Does anybody have a word today that can say, I prayed a long time. I didn't think it could happen. But I held on and God did what He promised to do. Is that right, Martha?
Yes, sir.
So to you today. Jim?
Chris. You are ordained by God in His church, not a denomination.
Amen. That means, Jim, they can't take it away with a red stamp across your ordination certificate. You know what? They stamped his and other people's certificate they held as a cherished reminder of their ordination. It's got a gigantic red stamp across it now. It says, invalid. They can't declare an ordination invalid. Okay, so the word today was for anyone who is still hanging on to a promise they felt, perceived, knew they got from God. It may take 30 years, but your eyes will not close in death. You will not sleep because your God, who never sleeps nor slumbers, will come through. He will honor His words and His promise to you. Amen? Sorry for the long sermon. The good news is Jim doesn't preach half this long. So let's take a minute of reflection because we owe God that much. Let's have the Hornbys come, and after that time we'll sing our final hymn.
Receive God's gift fully today. Maybe you need to come and tell Him, I accept that, Lord. I really want it. But you have to accept it. can't just mentally acknowledge it. You have to take it. Put your hands around it. Final hymn is 408, The Gift of Love. Let's sing.
Confess humbly what's missing in your life to the people you expect and influence. Try very hard to love them and say the words of God. The words of God will come. And as you begin to discover your calling from God in your life in the weeks to come, you see that maybe God has a much higher opinion of you today than you have of yourself. And then you might see the world start turning and changing. We have no choice but to change the world with the gospel of Jesus Christ. To rescue a generation is not for powers, it's not for comfortable bystanders, it's by people who have been activated, ready to go wherever God has given them their ministry, bold, worshiping passionately, loving, extravagant, and witnessing boldly. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.